हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
The Yadavas direct Narada to Uddhava. 116. But among us, blessed Uddhava has received Krishna's greatest mercy. That exalted soul is Lord Yadavendra's advisor, his disciple, his servant, and his extremely dear friend. Out of respect for Narada, the Yadavas feel obliged to put aside their doubts and accept his words as true. Ultimately, they cannot deny their own glories, because those glories are all inseparably related to Krishna. All the Yadavas can do is try to minimize those glories by presenting the greater glories of a better devotee, Sriman Uddhava. When the Yadava princes sit in the royal assembly of Dwarka, they are accustomed to deliberating with Krishna on various important matters of state. But none of the Yadavas can consider himself as valuable an advisor as Uddhava. And so here, because we're getting into that realm of sweetness, then they don't even really try to reduce the position of their devotional service because it's in connection directly with Krishna. So they just point Narad Muni to someone, you know, who's more involved in what they're doing. So if we're taking that what the Yadavas are doing is glorious, they're saying, but of us, then Uddhava is the really glorious one. Right? Rather, because if they say our service is nothing, then that also reduces Uddhava's position. Right? 117. Sometimes the Lord abandons us to go on a journey. This gives us such distress that even when we see Him again, the pain does not go away. We cannot be sure when He might go somewhere else, but Uddhava is always by His side, serving the Lord, His Master, and residing with Him. You know, not that. Yeah. Sometimes the Lord, the Personality of Godhead, sends Uddhava on missions on which the Lord Himself should go. For example, the Lord sent him to gain the release of Sambha, whom the Kauravas had taken captive. Krishna sent Uddhava on various missions, to Gokula, to Hastinapur, and elsewhere. When Sambha, Krishna's son, tried to elope with Duryodhana's daughter, the Kaurava army, headed by Bhishma and Duryodhana, captured Sambha. And Uddhava was instrumental in arranging Sambha's release. The Yadavas avoid mentioning the journey to Braja that Uddhava undertook for Krishna, because it is too confidential to discuss in the open assembly at Dwarka. Uddhava enjoyed Krishna's association constantly, but when sent out to either rescue or console the Lord's dear devotees, Uddhava felt more satisfaction than by staying with Krishna, because then he's doing Krishna's work. Is there, he's doing, he's there, but then it's something that Krishna would do himself. And so he's doing on Krishna's behalf. So then he's very happy with that. So that's the whole idea, is that going out and preaching, because then you're doing so on behalf of the Guru, of Rupa Goswami, of Lord Chaitanya, then that's very satisfying because that's their work. They're doing it. So then we go and like that. So we assist in their work. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why the personal association in that is nice. That's why I said Vapu is good, Vani is better. Right? So, but here the top of the Vani is doing what that person themselves would be doing. Right? Okay. 120. Uddhava stays alone with Krishna when the Lord playfully enjoys his meals. So he is the only person who can always obtain the Lord's Mahaprasad remnants. Right? They'll sometimes get it, but I guess it doesn't get far past
Udava. I mean, you know, and the, in the household, right?
So, because when you're eating, then that's the thing, is those who are more close, then they're around. Because the mood is nice. When the mood's good, mood's pleasant, then you can eat nicely and all that. Otherwise, when it becomes very formal, then, you know, that's okay for special occasions. You have these formal arrangements. But when you're dying daily, then you sit either, like Prabhupada would sit alone, or with those who would be confidential. So it'd be very rare, probably, eating and someone would be there like that. Because you never know what the conversation will be. You're really not like that. So many times you sit with devotees, you don't really know them, or a little bit you've met them, you sit down to eat, and immediately start talking about how they were sick or had diarrhea. I don't know why. Always it goes to, you know, getting diarrhea or something. I don't know. It's like, as the standard, you know, lunch conversation. So Prabhupada would probably, you know, if you eat alone, you miss out on those, those particular conversations. Yes.
Just as a side point, one time Kalichandra Swami, he told me that diarrhea, somehow everybody wants to share it, but people, those who are constipated, they never talk about it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's true. I've never heard, at least during lunch, I've never heard that comment.
No, nobody, but diarrhea, everybody's happy to share.
Oh, that's an interesting point. That's a very interesting observation. Okay, because he'll eat in the inside, in the inner chambers. Right, because in the inner chambers you have that kind of general living space where things can go on, and more close friends, family friends, others could come. Then you have what's inside that, where the ladies live, so that no one else goes. But there's that place in between. So somewhere like that, Uddhava would go. Krishna would have his meals. He could sit there and all that. So therefore, because he's there, he'll get some remnants like that. With great pleasure, Uddhava massages his master's lotus feet and then happily falls asleep with the Lord's feet on his lap. Yeah, because here he says, advisor, disciple, servant, and dear friend. Extremely dear friend. Right? When the Lord goes out for confidential pleasures, Uddhava sometimes goes with him. When Uddhava serves as the Lord's minister in the assembly hall, his precious gems of advice and his flood of witty and charming comments earn abundant praise from Sri Hari. They also delight all of us and fulfill all our desires. So it's not just that he does this and takes care of Krishna and they're all jealous and everything, but they themselves are also very happy in his association and what he has to say. Like that. Here's an example of Sri Uddhava's giving advice from the 10th canto. Sri Uddhava said, O Lord, as the sage advised, you should keep your cousin. You should keep your cousin, fulfill his plan for performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. And you should also protect the kings who are begging for your shelter. Only one has conquered all opponents in every direction can perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. O Almighty One, thus in my opinion, conquering Jarasandha will serve both purposes. By this decision, there will be great gain for us, and you will save the kings. Thus, Govinda, you will be glorified. Right? So he's advising that to do the Rajasuya, you have to either be accepted by all the kings or bring them under control. So then, Jarasandha is creating so much problem, right? Especially for the Dwarkavasis. He came and attacked this city 18 times when they were living in Mathura. So, you know, he's an old enemy. So by getting rid of him, then you're assured of things will go smoothly. Because otherwise he collects all these other non-favorable personalities around him. I think Shishupal Dantavakra were also friends with him.
Yeah.
Like that. You know, so it's and these are all the ones that came and attacked their city. So you get rid of him, you kind of get rid of their support. The Acharya's comment. Devarshi Narada wanted Lord Krishna to go to Indraprastha and help his cousin Yudhishthira perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. At the same time, the members of the royal assembly strongly desired that he defeat Jarasandha and rescue the kings he was holding prisoner. The great-minded Uddhava could understand that Lord Krishna desired to do both things, unless he intelligently advised how both these purposes could be simultaneously accomplished. Right? Not that they're separate things, but you do them in the name of the Rajasuya, you get rid of Jarasandha, rather than the two separate things. According to Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of Lord Krishna's qualities is chatura, clever, which means he can perform various types of work at the same time. Thus, the Lord could certainly have solved the dilemma of how to simultaneously satisfy Lord Yudhishthira's desire to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice and the imprisoned king's desire for freedom. But Krishna wanted to give his dear devotee Uddhava the credit for the solution, and thus he pretended to be perplexed. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.71, 2-3 purport. Next, Uddhava advises. The invincible king, Jarasandha, is as strong as 10,000 elephants. Indeed, other powerful warriors cannot defeat him. Only Bhima is equal to him in strength. He will be defeated in a match of single chariots, not when he is with his 100 military divisions. Now, Jarasandha is so devoted to Brahminical culture that he never refuses requests from Brahmanas. Bhima should go to him disguised as a Brahmana and beg charity. Thus you will obtain single combat with Jarasandha, and in your presence, Bhima will no doubt kill him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.71, 5-7. The purports of these verses. Sridhar Swami explains that the Yadavas were extremely eager to kill Jarasandha, and thus to caution them, Sri Uddhava spoke this verse. Jarasandha's death could come only at the hand of Bhima. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti adds that Uddhava had previously deduced this from the Jyotiraga and other astrological scriptures that he had learnt from his teacher Brihaspati. Brihaspati being the priest for the demigods, then you could be assured that his astrological, you know, understanding was quite good. So if you learn from Brihaspati, you would know the science. Right? So from that, he could understand that he could only be killed. Because if you get down far enough, there's the point you can tell the Marikas what's going to kill you. But depending on where they're situated, what house, what planet, degree, all these different things, then you can get an idea of how. And so from all that, then you could understand that only Bhima could kill him. You know, it won't say Bhima. You know, it's not a Ouija board or something, you know, like that. You know, but it's going to bring it out that only someone of equal, you know, only his equal can kill him. Yes. Or he would die at the hands of an equal. So who's equal to him? Now, Duryodhana is not going to kill him. Dhritarashtra is definitely not going to kill him. Kichika is not known for having a problem with him. You know, and Shalya, you know, that's not really his thing. He's running his kingdom, and because he's that strong, nobody bothers him. Right? So that only leaves Bhima, who won't have a problem. Does that make sense? So like that, you still have to use your brain. And Uddhava, he has one, so he's good.
When they say here that Bhima would go, this guy is the Brahmana. So I think they were knowing each other before. So how can they be these guys without...
you don't expect. No. Means that's one of the 64 arts, is how to dress in such a way. See, for kings especially, they have to know how to do that. If the king is going to, on a regular basis, go out and go around his kingdom to see what's happening. Because he has spies going, he hears news, yes. He has ministers... So he has so many offices, but at some point he should go himself. Because there may be things others miss. He is the top administrator. So others may have the knowledge and ability he has, but they also may not. So even though they may see so many things, there's certain things they won't see. Or at least by going out and seeing that what he sees is exactly what he's told, then he can be confident that, you know, his machinations there are fully taking care of everything. But still, he has to regularly check, because at any point it may break down.
But if he goes out and checks and sees that, okay, they're getting 90%, but that 10%, then he has to figure out how to get that done.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So he regularly himself has to go. So what does that mean? How does the king go out? He has to disguise. So that means the king's, one of the arts they know is how to disguise himself so that they won't be seen, won't be understood. Like that. Right? And so, like this, they're able to go around. You know? Yeah.
And I think in the recent times you have Vlad would do that. He would disguise himself and then go shop to shop.
Who?
Vlad.
Poland?
Hmm?
Poland? From Poland?
No, from Romania or Hungary.
Oh.
The Transylvanian king. Transylvanian king.
The Chinese kings, they had another way of dealing with this. Nobody were allowed to look at them, so
no one knew what they looked like.
No, exactly.
Oh, so if they went out, then no one would know who they are.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. It's a bit complicated, but yeah, it could work. It could work. Dracula?
Yes.
Count Dracula. So his name was Vlad.
Ah, okay.
So he would go out, he'd go into a shop, he'd buy something, and then he would see how the person would deal, if he would cheat on the weights or things like that. He would go into the shop where, you know, he'd check the cheating. If they were honest, he'd just go to the next shop. But if they weren't, he'd go outside, and then his boys would come in, take the guy out, and, you know, execute him right on the spot in front of the shop. And then everybody else would know, okay, we should be honest. So, you know, his kingdom worked very, very well. No one bothered, the Turks didn't bother him, and everybody in his kingdom was honest. So, in that way, he was quite a good king. But he was quite, ruthless in his dealings, so he got himself a reputation.
It might be argued that since only Bhima could equal Jarasandha in personal strength, Jarasandha would be more powerful when supported by his huge army. Therefore, Uddhava here recommends single combat. But how could Jarasandha be persuaded to give up the support of his powerful army? Here Uddhava gives a clue. Jarasandha will never refuse a request from Brahmanas, since he is devoted to Brahminical culture.
Srimad Bhagavatam 10.71, 5-7 purport. Right, so this is all clever. So if you have to defeat him, only someone who's equal in strength can do it. But equal in strength means he'll have his armies.
Yes.
Right? And then you know, you don't want to declare a full war and everything like that. So therefore he'll have to be single combat. Plus, it's like this. If you have somebody who's strong as 10,000 elephants, that'll always be a great pleasure in fighting with someone else who is of the same strength. And if you're using bows and arrows, you can have a guy that's not as strong as 10,000 elephants like Arjuna or Karna, and be quite an opponent. But it's only like if you're either using clubs or hand-to-hand that, you know, and clubs, then there's the thing. But if you're doing hand-to-hand combat, then that would give the greatest satisfaction on both parties. So it's not that he would be against it, right? Because of the nature of it. But to get that, you know, you would have to get him to agree, and the only way to agree would be getting him to agree by a Brahmin asking. Because his point is that, just like Manu said, you give money to a person, a poor person, you get the equal amount back. You give money to someone who is dressed as a Brahmin who's not, you get double. So therefore even that's worthwhile. You know, of course, according to the person and their position, you'll give more or less. So if he's, you know, doesn't look very, you know, you would be give him a minimal donation, you do the same thing, maybe a touch more because he's in the position of a Brahmin, but you get double. Right? So here, even if he understands they're not Brahmins, he'll give the charity anyway because he said he would. Like that. He's that kind of a person. So You don't become that big of a demon without keeping your word. But you have to have character to become that big of a demon. Right? So that's the thing. So the point is prosperity comes because of piety. The point is that he just wants that piety for himself. So that's the demoniac element. Right? So Uddhava comes up with all this, right? Krishna could come up with this, but Uddhava advises, and therefore he gets the glory. Like that. So it's the taste. Because otherwise, if God comes up with everything, you know, where's the taste? You know, it's interacting with others, what they're going to say, what they're going to do. That's what it is. It's also said that Uddhava accompanied Krishna on his visit to Kuja. 123. What can be said of his continuous good fortune? Since childhood, he has been so absorbed in the taste of serving his master's lotus feet that foolish people call him a madman. Patula means insane, or in more exact medical terms, suffering mentally from imbalance of the vital airs, vatas. So vatula is there. When naive persons without spiritual discrimination observed Uddhava in trance, oblivious of his surroundings, or saw him babbling like someone haunted by a ghost, they would judge him such a madman. Right. Then the nice thing is they leave him alone, and then you avoid all your bad associations. Right? So it's not a problem for these great devotees. Being thought of as a madman doesn't bother them, because then people who don't like madmen don't bother them. Right? 124. Just see how amazing is his great eagerness to surrender always at the lotus feet of Lord Madhava. He has even forgotten the normal bodily features of a human birth and instead assumed a transcendental body closely resembling that of Sri Hari. So a very interesting way to say he has a transcendental form. Forgotten the normal bodily features of human birth. And so he just, in his ecstasy, he just manifests his spiritual form.
Yes.
Like that. Uddhava's body is more beautiful than even Sri Pradyumna's. And Uddhava is even more dear to Krishna than Pradyumna is to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? Because Pradyumna is his son. Right? When bedecked with jewels, pearl necklaces, yellow silk dress, forest flower garlands, makara-shaped earrings, and other ornaments, Uddhava delights us, and we mistake him for the son of Devaki himself. No one attracts the hearts of Krishna's devotees more than Uddhava. Seeing Uddhava arrayed like Krishna was a source of delight for the Yadavas, especially when Krishna was absent from Dwarka and they needed relief from the pain of separation. Right, so he would remind them of Krishna. Among the prasad ornaments Uddhava would receive from Krishna, the Vanya Shrak was a garland strung from wild forest flowers, often long enough to touch the wearer's feet. It was good. The garland, yes. The jewels Krishna gave Uddhava included his own kastuba, which in Vaikuntha no one but Lord Narayan ever wears. The word Adi and so on implies Krishna's sandalwood paste, headdress, and other ornaments. Not sure if he mentions it here, but that's one of the prayers of Uddhava, is he's so happy getting all the remnants of the Lord. Like that. There's no, you know, that's his main pleasure. He's not interested in getting things for himself, but when he gets the remnants of the Lord, then he's very happy. It's one of Uddhava's famous prayers. Brantya means by mistake, and when the Yadavas saw Uddhava from a distance, they often thought he was Krishna. And even after they realized their mistake, the sight of Uddhava still pleased them, since his exceptional beauty made them remember Krishna's beauty. The second possible meaning of Brantya is moving about. Uddhava was always passing here and there on Krishna's business, giving the Dwarka residents many opportunities to see him. The words more beautiful than Pradyumna is significant because Pradyumna is none other than Cupid. And because Pradyumna is Krishna's son and the emblem of Gaurava Priti Rasa. Okay, from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Affection for Krishna by those who identify themselves as his objects of indulgence is called Gauravottara.
When this affection is nourished by elements starting with vibhava, it is called Gaurava Priti Ras. Right, because that's their identifying themselves, so that's the Staibhav, right? But when then you add vibhava to it, then you get the priti, and then that will generate the rasa. Right? So they identify themselves in that way, but when you add vibhava, that means that's the affection, right? That's the exchange of the priti. That will then generate the anubhavas, the taste. Does that make sense? Yeah. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.144. Gauravam means being fixed in the conception of Krishna as one's parent, guru. When this conception becomes fully manifested or mature, it is called Gauravottara. Durgama Sangamani Tika 3.2.144. In this Gaurava Priti Rasa, Krishna is the Vishaya, endowed with qualities of being a great father, having great fame, great intelligence, great strength, being a protector and the caresser of his children. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.147. Those who think that they are the younger brothers or sisters, or that they are his sons, are the ashrayas of this rasa. Among them, Sharana, Gada, Subhadra, are chief younger brothers and sisters. And Prajumna, Charudeshna, and Samba are his sons. These children possess more clothing, ornaments, qualities, and effulgence than the Parishadas. They have black, yellow, and white complexions, and they play in Dwarka. Their devotion. Shamba and others eat with Krishna with their heads raised. They eat his betel nut remnants. Their heads raised means because others might be more shy and just eat. But yes, they're there and talking and singing and interacting and like that. When Krishna embraces them and smells their heads, they burst into tears. How much austerity they must have done previously to attain this position. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2, 148, 150. Because the Parishads are close, but not as close as them. So they get more clothing, ornaments, qualities, effulgence, like that. Jiva Goswami compares this variety of dasya to the other kind, sambrama. Dasatva means the desire to do some service using one's own body. It is therefore called sambrama, which means eager. Footnote 17. A related meaning is given in Sri Brahma Samhita. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. The word Sambrahma or Sadara indicates being saturated with love. Brahma Samhita 5.29 purport. Sambrahma Priti is so called because the Sambrahma, eagerness for service, is most prominent. Lalatvam means desiring to be caressed and cared for by the Lord. Therefore it is called Gaurava, meaning related to the parent, Guru. Gaurava Priti is so called because that Priti has a predominance of the desire for interaction with the Lord, acting as a parent. Durgama Sangamani Tika 3.2.116. Lala Tvam. So, Lala means the Tvam means the means Lala-ness. Right? So that would be the general term. Then if it's feminine, it would be Lali. Among all the Lalyas, Rukmini's son Prajumna is the chief. His form. All glories to the young boy, crown jewel of the young Yadu princes, Prajumna, killer of Shambhara, who is mistaken for Krishna because of his beautiful form. Though both the servants and the Lalyas worship Krishna constantly as the most worthy person of worship, awareness of the Lord's majesty is more prominent in the servants. Identification as the relatives, his children, of Krishna is more prominent in the minds of the Lalyas. So they're all servants. They're all in the mood of service. But at the same time, there's the majesty is less in the lalyas.
Why would the sons be considered superior?
Because they have that moon. But it doesn't mean that the other aspects aren't there. Remember, because it was said the Gaurava Priti. So there's all this kind of mood of service was there. So you had the Sambrahma, and then it had the you know, down like the demigods, or who is that? The demigods who are the ones, those who were, had positions. Then there were the what is it, Ashritas or something. There was that. Then there was the Parishads and the
Ananga.
Anugans, yes. So there's one in between, like that. So then there'll be more majesty in those others who have the position or like that. And then as you go up, it gets less. So that's the Sambrahma. So, but in the Gaurava, then they have that mood of that affection and everything like that. So that's the thing, is the rasa has so much subtleties to it. So as soon as we're convinced by the technical knowledge connected with the material world and the superiority of devotional service over us being the, you know, the, how you say, the absolute, you know, how you say, center of, you know, the cosmos, then we can, you know, put a lot of focus into this. You know, right now it's most of the knowledge is taken up just how to us not be the center of attention.
This Gaurava Priti Rati, which spontaneously appears and spreads in the devotee's heart, is the Stai Bhava of the Rasa. This Priti, becoming excellent, becomes Prema. When it becomes more elevated, it becomes Sneha. And it becomes even more elevated, it's called Raga.
So it seems it'll also get up to that Raga position. But what was above Raga? That was the one. Was Raga the one that we were getting to, the highest one?
The Raga is the highest.
Within this group?
Yeah.
But there was something just below. There was Raga, then just below that. And the Kasneha, I think, was just beyond Prema.
Yes, yeah, something between.
There was something there that sometimes it gets up to there. So it seems that these can go more. Like that. Though within the other dasyas, then it's not necessarily. It seems the Parishads and the Anugas, it may get up to there.
Yes.
Like that. So it's basically just the greater the intimacy, the higher within the realms of prema it goes.
Okay. 120, that, did I say the Brahma Samhita?
Yeah.
Okay. 126. Sri Parikit said, "Dear Mother, after hearing these and other exalted glories of Uddhava, Narad Muni, overjoyed, became eager to go to Uddhava's house. Showing various symptoms of ecstasy, Narada stood up, ready to set off in that direction. Noting this, King Ugrasena spoke. The shifting ecstasies felt by Narada produced various symptoms in his body. Perspiration, trembling, and the standing of the hairs on his limbs. He was obviously moved by impulses of spontaneous love. So only transcendental arguments could change his mind. Sriman Ugrasena told Narada, "My lord, it is said that without Krishna's order, Uddhava never leaves Krishna's presence, even for a moment. In contrast, despite my begging to stay in Krishna's company, I never attain that blessing. I am deprived of that achievement because of my degraded occupation of protecting the kingdom." So he's considering here, being the king of Dwarka, which basically means the best position of any king on earth, is getting in the way of him spending time with Krishna. By saying that Uddhava never leaves the Lord's presence, Ugrasena indirectly advised Narada not to look for Uddhava at home. At the same time, he also made the point that he, Ugrasena, was not at all as great as Narada said he was. At the least, he was not as great as Uddhava, whom Krishna kept always by his side. Ugrasena's kingdom was indeed a gift from Krishna, granted him after his son Kamsa fell from the throne. But the kingdom was a mixed blessing, the kingdom always in danger of conquest by various enemies. To make Ugrasena accept the throne,
Krishna had resorted to duplicity. He had asked Ugrasena to watch after Mathura, because the kingdom needed to be guarded against certain threats while the Lord traveled elsewhere. In fact, however, no such threats existed. We read in Harivamsa 247, 16 through 17, 21 through 23, that during Rukmini Swayamvar, Lord Krishna told Ugrasena, "O tiger among kings, please stay here with my brother. There are many warriors who externally follow the rules of scripture, but whose intelligence is perverted. When these kings find the city vacant, with no ruler in place, they will attack it and impose terror." Ugrasena replied, "Without your presence, none of us citizens can live peacefully in this city or its outlying districts, just as women cannot live happily without their husbands. Dear son, we all consider you our master. We depend on the shelter of your mighty arms. Therefore, O creator of our honor, we fear no earthly kings, nor even Indra, king of heaven. Wherever you go to find victory in battle, O first and best of the Yadus, you should please take us with you." Right? Because their whole thing is, without Krishna, there's no real meaning. And at the same time, you know, as pointed out, is they don't, you know, so because of this, they don't actually fear anybody. What they're worried about is not being with Krishna. But at the same time, as we see, is that they can easily defeat. Because when Jarasandha attacked, they killed his whole army and captured it. So it's not that they can't take care of themselves, but because, you know, Jarasandha has a lot of extra army, right? Because he came with 18 Akshahinis. So then, and that's how many died in the Kurukshetra battle. So already half of all the demoniac forces were already destroyed just with Jarasandha coming and attacking Mathura. And they defeated him every time. So their point is we don't have any problem with any other kings or that. Even Indra comes, we're not worried. But they just want to spend time with Krishna. So that's why I said he used duplicity too. No, you know, somebody has to be here to protect. So then he left him there to take care, and that way then he becomes the king. So when Krishna comes back, then, hey, you're doing a great job. So, you know.
Right. It just seems like everywhere in Priyabhagavatamrita it's shown that the sign of Krishna's mercy, the kingdom, prosperity, and all that.
Yeah, but then on the other side.
All of them,
those who are praised, they all say it's a great burden, Prahlad
and the king,
you know,
so it's only from our side
that
it's great.
Yes, yes. You know, it's just like, you know, there's occasions when, you know, all the arrangements look really good. But then let's say on, you know, Maha Cleaning Day morning, then you might have other thoughts. Yes, you know, so that's the whole. So in other words, everything engaged in Krishna's service is perfect at the same time as them. They're always seeing that they could do more, you know, directly interacting with Krishna. But Ugrasena is running the kingdom because Krishna wants him to. But when you see that Uddhava is always with them, so he's missing out on that kind of association. But at the same time, it's, their moods are different, so they won't have that anyway. So that's the position you can take it. They're fully satisfied in the service. But if someone brings up that, oh, you're the greatest, then they'll point these things out. Like Hanuman having mentioned the Pandavas, it's not that he wants to go there. He's satisfied where he is, you know. Prahlad, everybody stays where they are. They don't say, he's the best, why don't we go together to there? And then you see this whole, you know, like this whole party going until they get to the whoever's the top, and there's the, you know, the Kashi Brahmin and the South Indian king, and, you know, everybody's there. And so, no, but it's just each one's happy in their place. So that's the thing, is the devotee's satisfied in his service. At the same time, as he appreciates that there's other devotees who are doing great stuff. Yes.
So the level of intimacy is not the same, but still it's satisfying.
Yes, because your level of intimacy is according to your nature. Yes.
So Krishna perfectly reciprocates that.
So we can't take more than our nature now.
No, because, and you don't need to. It's just like, you sit down, how many chapatis do you eat? Right? Now let's say we take chapatis out to the elephants. How many are they going to eat? You know, I've generally seen it when they feed chapatis to the elephants, they make a stack. They roll up the stack so you have, you know, this big roll. I mean, not like a roll on our plate. I mean a roll. And then they feed that to the... And that's one. That's one mouthful. And when they finish with that, they give them another roll and another roll. So they bring one of those nokas, you know, that they Bengalis put rice in. They have one of those full of chapatis. Yeah, with the two handles. And then they eat that many chapatis. And that's with ghee on. You know, elephants aren't going to eat chapatis with no ghee. Come on. Even if they eat rice, you got to put ghee on. Yeah, like in the temples, the elephants eat, yeah, like that, a noka of rice. Noka or two, depending how big they are. But they always put ghee on it. Yeah, you know, maybe a good amount of ghee, not just a couple of drops. You know. We're talking about, you know, kilos of ghee on it, and they eat that, they're happy. So the point is you're satisfied with your chapatis, and the elephant's satisfied with theirs. So it's not you're thinking, oh, he can eat so many more chapatis. Well, there's the thing, I wish I could do that, but you're not going to do that. We're talking about good chapatis here, right? If you like the chapati, you think, wow, I could eat, you know, unlimited chapati, but you won't. You can only eat how many you can. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So everybody's satisfied. So that's why Raghunath Das is pointing out is don't worry about all these others. You look at the whole idea is getting up to this, what's the top. Look at that. And then within that, then find your place.
Okay.
You know? But if something along the way is really where you want to be, then that's where you'll stop. Like, you know, Lord Chaitanya had that pastime with Murari Gupta. And very, you know, put a lot of pressure and everything, but still. And Lord Chaitanya was very satisfied because he stayed in his position. Is that stability, then it's there. Because otherwise, if it changes, then how do you know it won't change again? You know, and if it's nice, Krishna himself is satisfied. And so therefore, then it changes, then where is that? So is that?
Yeah,
so we naturally have our position, but we have to be attracted by it. That's how we're going to move forward. Right? So it's not a matter of we're going to get attracted to something we weren't. It's a matter of getting this momentum going, so when we get to the Brahma Buddha platform, we keep the momentum going, because last time we didn't. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes the point, and Prabhupada also makes the point, you're either moving forward or backwards. You can't just stay neutral. You throw a ball up in the air, it doesn't stay in one place. There's a moment. So it's either going up or it's going down. So that's the thing, is then now we have to keep going forward and go up. So when we become, when the attraction to the material world is reduced, then our natural position becomes obvious, and then that attraction then continues there. So in other words, we will never be disappointed. You know, you don't have a cow wishing that he had been a cavern boy, you know, why did I pick the cow? You know, no. Does that make sense?
Because in the beginning it looked like the book is about hierarchy, although spiritual, but hierarchy, but actually it's about relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
And then as soon as we find our own place, then we're completely satisfied.
Yes. That's right.
It's just material mind is...
Because we make higher, just like Prabhupada points out, the five rasas, they're all equal. But at the same time, as you can say, there's a hierarchy. But that hierarchy is simply the intensity. But the point is wherever they are, because they are all on that way equal, all of them are pleasing Krishna. Because ultimately there's Radha and Krishna. That's where the real, and everybody else is then taking part and assisting in that. Because otherwise Radha and Krishna in space, that's not so, you know. But you know, you have the whole Vrindavan and you have all the other realms like that. And if you're going to have Parakriya, that means these can't actually be from there. So therefore, then you must have Mathura and Dwarka. So all these are part of the, all part of the same picture. We just look at it, I want this, I get this, I'm happy, you know, but then there's the whole. You know what I'm saying? So let's say we want something, and then trying to endeavor to get it, we may upset people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we do get it, but then you can't really enjoy it because the environment's not supportive. So we forget that we're adding that to the present environment. Not that that itself is the source of pleasure. It's just that would be a nice addition to the already existing environment. Does that make sense? So there's already relationships, it's already there, they're nice, and if you have these things, you add, it will increase that. But if we get distracted by the thing itself, then it can disturb relationships, because it's not actually about the things. So for Krishna, it's all about relationship. So then on your point, then each devotee is satisfied in this position. But at the same time, is they have qualities that inspire them in devotional service. And the devotee by nature is humble. So if you point out that, yes, you're the most glorious devotee, he'll point out others who, you know, does that make sense? You know, somebody comes at you and say, oh, you're doing such nice service, you're doing this or that, and then you always have somebody in that area who may be doing better. Because they're putting it all together in one thing, and they can say, well, this one's doing better here, or that one there. No, it's not. So the humility is naturally there.
Yeah.
Up to Brahma, then there may be the element of elevating yourself more. But from Shiva, that is his position. Kalab, that is his position. The Pandavas, Hanuman Pandavas, that is their position. Yadavas, like that. So then.
So we try in both, basically. We try to elevate ourselves and then simultaneously develop our relationship with
yes.
the Lord.
Yeah, because we're trying to elevate ourselves out of here.
Right.
And then yes. establish what is a natural relationship there.
Yeah. And I was thinking that intensity in spiritual relationship is something desirable, yeah.
Yes. Means here it may be sometimes appreciated, sometimes not.
Yeah, but that's the point. Here it's not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's because it has both sides. Like that. But in the spiritual world, then it's all just devotional ecstasy. It's just different flavors of it. So that level of intensity that you function at, then that's the level that you always function at. You know, in other words, if intensity was good, you don't mind it. If intensity is bad, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
But the bad is only in the material world.
Right.
In the spiritual world, where it's originally from, there's no bad. It may appear here to be bad, but we would categorize as bad. But there it's not bad.
Yeah.
Because it's all in connection with Krishna. So it works. It's interesting how it gets. Just as the sun kind of loses it, he just drops off really fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when the dark comes, then it's,
yeah, it's even more, yes. Even more. Yeah, so it's harder the evening one than the morning one. Because the morning is kind of cold and warming up, but here it starts warm and then. Who's on fast? Yes.
About intensity. When we have suffered here, like separation from devotees, from guru, it's make very big pain. And intensity in spiritual world always like it's painful, but it's blissful.
Yeah, but the pain here, if you're separation from the devotees, is also blissful. So don't worry about it. Means you have those from there saying, you know? Because here the idea is about yourself. There it's not about yourself. So the separation is different. The separation is about being, you know, that positive being with them, serving them and that, rather than what we get from it. Does that make sense? If it doesn't make sense, don't worry about it. Does that make sense? Later on, it will mean something. Okay. 130. I delight in only one real honor, being able to carry out Krishna's order. But the false honor he shows me simply torments me and leaves me feeling cheated. No other devotee of the Lord is ever cheated like this. But as for Uddhava, he enjoys the greatest happiness. Privileged to stay always by Krishna's side, he is never deprived of Krishna's association. Therefore, please go to Uddhava quickly and convey from us this message. The appointed time today to come to the assembly hall has already passed. Kindly bring Krishna and grace the assembly with our master's presence. So then also this thing, if he goes quickly, then they get Krishna there quickly, right? In the phrase, shabham sa nataya, please grace the assembly hall. The verb sa nataya literally means please allow to have its master. The idea implied is that without seeing Krishna, the yadavas would be left helpless. They expect and require to see Krishna in person every day. Another implication in the verse is that Narada is more fortunate than the Yadavas because he can freely enter Krishna's private quarters whenever he wants. Right? Because we see in in that one pastime where he goes into every palace. Right? So in every one of the 16,108 palaces, he sees Krishna performing a different pastime. Like that. So, which Yadava can claim that he's ever been in all 16,100? So, he generally sees Uddhava would probably be going to Rukmini's palace or Satyabhama's palace, but not all 16,108. So, in this way, Narad Muni then is. But you don't want to disturb his ecstasy either. Right? So, they're not saying something would bother him. Right? Because none of them can do that. Right? If Uddhava sometimes is there, sometimes not. Right? But he can go in any time. You know, say Prajumna. He'll be in Rukmini's palace. He won't be in Satyabhama's. Not that he can't go, but sometimes they may, sometimes not, but it's not regular. But Narad Muni could.
Yes.
Right. So that's their point. They're pointing out possibilities, options. Right? Thus ends the fifth chapter of part one of Srila Sanatana Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita entitled Priya, Beloved. Chapter 6, Priyatma, the Most Beloved. How many chapters? 7.
In this part.
I think both of them are 7. It's 7, because this only has the 6th chapter, right? One chapter is missing. Or more of this chapter. Or did this already go into 7 and I didn't see that? No. Okay. In this chapter, Narad Muni remains in Dwarka, but moves from the assembly chamber to Krishna's palace to meet Sriman Uddhava. What Narad says to Uddhava and the other devotees in Dwarka inspires him to discuss the present situation in Braj. Overhearing these talks, Krishna becomes bewildered in ecstatic love. The love of the gopis, the crest jewel of bhakti. Sanatana Goswami has been building up to sense the Mangalachar, will figure prominently in the remainder of the book. Thus our study will again be bolstered by Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Chapter 6 focuses on the bhakti of the Vrajavasins. It represents a milestone in the text, for it marks a transition from Vaidhi to Rag, to worship of Krishna that is free from any conception of Aishwarya. Because before, they're all in majesty, though there is sweetness. So we can say Goloka is the Sandhi between Vaikuntha and Gokul.
right? Like that, because it's majesty, but there's still the sweetness. So in Goloka, there's sweetness, but Braj is only sweetness, and Mathura and Dwarka then have sweetness and Aishwarya. So therefore, the sweetness would be less. Is that it? The cowherds exhibit a predominance of rag without a mixture of reverence for him as the Lord, which was present in the Vrishnis and Dwarka. Durgama Sangamani Tika 1-2-288. Vaikuntha was characterized by Prema, Pulad, Hanuman, Lakshmi, Hastinapur and Dwarka by Sneha, the Pandavas and the Yadavas. Now Vraj will be celebrated for its residence, Rag. Similarly, right, so there, you know, Sneha would be there, but a few instances where it goes to Rag. But here you're starting with Rag and going up from there. Now, it's not that the lower ones aren't there, but it's just that it goes up higher. Similarly, within Priti Rati, we observe Ashritas and Adikritas in Vaikuntha, Parishadas in Hastinapur and Dwarka, and we will subsequently encounter the Anugas of Braj. Uddhava was mentioned by Jiva Goswami as possessing a touch of raga. Therefore, he is uniquely qualified to glorify the Vrajavasis. However, before Uddhava gets to express this admiration, first Narad Muni will take the opportunity to go and sing his praises. Narad arrives at Krishna's palace, 1-12. Sri Parikit said, "Noble Mother, after hearing Ugrasena's advice, Narada, the dear devotee of Lord Mahavishnu, became absorbed in the taste of exalted love of God, which seized him in its grip. Forgetting everything else, he started off, Veena in hand. Having spent much time before in Dwarka, Narada automatically took the familiar roads to the center of the city, amazing roads that led to the neighborhood of the Lord's palaces, and came to a palace of Krishna that he knew how to reach from earlier visits. Under the spell of intense transcendental agitation, Narada seemed like an ordinary person haunted by a ghost." Yeah. Again, no one bothers you. When Narada left Hastinapur for Dwarka, he could think only of how wonderful are Krishna and his devotees. He picked up his veena but was too distracted to play it. How then did he manage to find his way to Dwarka and Krishna's palaces? He managed because he had gone there many times before. He took the right roads even without paying attention. As the road to the inner city approached the royal quarters, it assumed a bewildering appearance and took many unusual turns, making it a road ordinarily impossible for non-residents to follow. Because you don't want people to just march straight in. You know, so you have to create it so in such a way that it's very difficult for people who don't know to get into it. So basically that will apply to anybody but Bengalis. Bengalis, no matter what you set up, they will find a way into where you don't want them to be. It's amazing. I used to have things, roads, plants, things blocking, fences, you know, that from here you can't see anything. But because they can see that it looks like there's a path, maybe there's a path, so they go and look. And, oh, there's a path. Where does this go? And they keep going until the next thing you know, they're standing there in front of your toilets looking at your toilets. And, you know, may we help you? Oh, we just wondered what kind of toilets you had. You're Westerners, so we want to know, did you use a Western toilet, or because your sadhus and did you use an Indian toilet? Right? You won't see Marwaris, UP Wallace, South. Nobody else will be standing in front of your toilet, but Bengalis will. Right? So, therefore, this will work for everybody. But because of Yoga Maya, then even the Bengalis can't get through. But if it's anywhere else, then. Yes, so then that's you don't have to worry about that. Right? And in Bengal, they don't even bother, right? Everything's just open because you might as well, because they'll find their way through anyway. So why take the trouble? Yes. Why bother? Okay. Narada seemed oblivious of what he was doing and managed to arrive at his destination only because he was accustomed to the route. The truth is, however, that when one is conducted helplessly under the control of pure love of God, one actually understands everything perfectly. He certainly cannot forget the way to reach the personality of Godhead. 4. He sometimes tripped and fell to the ground, and sometimes stood motionless. Sometimes his body trembled, or he rolled on the ground, or he wept in great distress. He sometimes shouted and jumped about, and sometimes sang and danced. And sometimes all the transformations of priceless love of God converged in him at once. And this was all on the way, you know, to the palace. A full manifestations of devotional ecstasy appeared in Narada's body, as trembling, perspiration, standing of the bodily hairs on end, and loud crying. Only devotees advanced in prema feel the ecstasies that externally show as these symptoms. Right? So, in other words, there's an ecstasy that's there, then these are the symptoms of it. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's what we're talking about. Rasa is not the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Rasa is the experience. Symptoms are then how you can tell. That's why they can't explain the rasa, the taste. They can tell you the symptoms. So the symptoms of sthaibhav, vibhav, anubhav, sattvikabhav, and vyavicharibhav. Right, but the taste of it that can't be described. The acharyas mentioned that we can tell all these things, but the taste of it, that you have to taste for yourself. Mm-hmm. You just have to know it's there. You make the endeavor. You please Krishna, then you'll taste it. But they can only tell that. So that's why they go by the symptoms of that. Then they can tell from that what kind of ecstasy it is, and this and that. But the taste of it, that the devotee has. So if one is on that platform, then one understands, and if not, then one doesn't. My dear mother, please now be fully attentive. Listen soberly with steady concentration to what I am about to say. Parikshit Maharaj wants his mother to listen carefully so that the Supreme Lord's pastime he is about to describe will enchant her mind and awaken her ecstatic love. Parikshit shows from his own experience that, quote, the insanity, end quote, of love of Krishna is in fact the most natural condition of the soul, and that devotees infected with this insanity are more sober and in touch with reality than anyone else. Okay, that answer your question?
No.
No. Then we'll read more.
Yes.
Six to eight. That day, Lord Krishna was for some reason disturbed in mind and asleep in the inner quarters. And Uddhava had left him and sat down nearby on a terrace at the edge of the palace. There, Uddhava was joined by Baladev, Devaki, and Rohini, and the queens of Krishna like Rukmini and Satyabhama, as well as various maidservants and other ladies, including Kamsa's mother, Padmavati. Oh, Kamsa's mother is Padmavati. A lady who had the habit of making public gossip out of Krishna's personal affairs. So every crowd has one. Right? Even Krishna's got one. Precisely why Lord Krishna was disturbed, Parikshit will reveal to his mother a little further on in his narration. He does not want her to become agitated by hearing this too soon. Padmavati was Ugrasena's wife. Oh, okay, Kamsa's mother. Ugrasena's wife. Okay, makes sense. Yeah, Kamsa is Ugrasena's son, so that naturally means there's a mother involved. This is Padmavati.
But he's
right.
Not his father.
Who?
Ugrasena.
He's not Kamsa's father.
Not technically.
It will say that
in the way. Okay. In the next sentence. The Sri Srikanda 48-51 of the Padma Purana describes that after their marriage, he stayed a short time in the house of her father, King Satyaketu. At that time, a demoniac messenger of Kuvera, named Drumila, or Gobila, became attracted to her, and by disguising himself as Ugrasena, he seduced her. The child born from this illicit connection was Kamsa. Oh, okay. Okay, well, that explains his mentality. Okay. All of them sat there silently in shock. They saw that Sri Narada had arrived and he was acting strange. These devotees, who would regularly take part in Krishna's daily palace activities, were dismayed that Krishna was lying in bed way past the time he normally rose. It was obvious to them that something was seriously wrong, but they couldn't discern exactly what. Nonetheless, they now had to attend to Narada's arrival. 10. Standing up, they brought him carefully to where they had been sitting. They took a moment to restore him to a condition closer to normal and wiped dry his face, wet with tears of love. Then they spoke to him simply and gently. When the devotees began talking to Narada, they spoke quietly and in few words so as not to awaken Krishna and also not to agitate Narada further by saying something wrong. 11. They said, We have never seen you behave like this. What is this sudden change in you, dear Brahmana? Please sit here quietly for a moment. Sri Parikit said, Narada replied in a choking voice, tears flowing from his eyes. As he began to speak, he opened his eyes with difficulty and bowed down to offer respects. He was trembling and the hairs on his body stood erect. Sri Narada said, please arrange for me to meet with Uddhava, the only true object of exquisite good fortune, or else let me have from his feet one particle of dust. Then alone will my heart be at peace. Uddhava was present right in front of Narada, but the sage in his ecstasy failed to notice him. Narada first begged to be brought before Uddhava, but then reconsidered and thought himself probably unworthy to meet him. By explaining the demands of his heart, Narada answered the question about the cause of his strange behavior. Narada praises Uddhava. 14. He has received an abundance of our Lord's mercy, never gained by the Lord's other servants, in the past or even now. Because Uddhava is the greatest of all Vaishnavas, the Lord himself calls Uddhava one of his own special expansions. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.16.29, when Krishna, speaking to Uddhava, describes his own opulent expansions in the material world, he declares Uddhava his representative among the Vaishnavas. Vasudevo Bhagavatam, Tvam tu Bhagaveshva. Bhagavateshvaham. Among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudev, and you, Uddhava, indeed represent me among the devotees. 15. No one has ever been as dear to the Lord, neither the Lord's direct sons like Brahma, nor friends like Shiva, nor brothers like Balaram, nor the goddess Rama, or the Lord's other wives, not even his own unique transcendental body is his dear. The original Shankarshana is Sri Balaram, Lord Krishna's brother and constant companion. Narada can dare to say that Uddhava is more dear to Krishna than even than Balaram and other supreme persons, because Krishna himself has said this to Uddhava. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Shankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.15. According to the commentary of Srila Sridhar Swami, when Lord Krishna in the Bhagavatam spoke this verse, he meant to say, as dear to me as my devotee. But in the ecstasy of his friendship with Uddhava, he at the last moment switched for bhakta, devotee, the word bhavan, you. The Lord's original intention, however, had been to glorify all his pure devotees. Srila Sanatan Goswami, therefore, earlier in his commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1.3.48, cited this verse in praise of Prahlad, and now he cites it again in praise of Uddhava. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also comments on this verse as follows. Though Brahma and others are also devotees, their identity as son, Amsa, brother or wife, is more prominent than their devotee portion. According to the rule that things are designated by predominant qualities, they should be designated as son, Amsa, brother and wife, rather than as devotees. In persons like Nanda and Jashoda, their bhakta portion is much greater than their identity as parents, because of the greatness of their prema. Thus they are called devotees rather than parents. They are dearest to Krishna. Darshayams tat vidham loko loka atmano bhakta vasyatam. The Lord displays the attribute of coming under the control of his devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.11.9. Thus they are called devotees, and they bring Krishna under their control. The excellence of Yashoda is praised. Neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Lord, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be more correct to say that, oh, Yashoda, for example, she's first Krishna's mother, then devotee of Krishna?
No, here, because that mood of devoted to Krishna is greater than even a position. Because she's just thinking about Krishna and absorbed. It's in motherly affection, but she's not so much thinking that she is the mother. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that her service as a devotee is not in motherly affection. That's not what he's meaning here. He's meaning is that their identity, so these others, they're identifying as sons, brothers, wife, rather than devotee. They, Balaram identifies as Krishna's brother. Does that make sense? So there's a different kind of consideration. You know, these are within very fine points, because we're talking about everybody here being dear to the Lord. As Sridhar Swami pointed out, is that he's meaning this for all devotees, but at the same time as Uddhava is special. Another meaning is, among all these devotees, you are the dearest. Right? So they're all dear, then he's the dearest of that. Hear this from my mouth. Among all the devotees, Uddhava is the best. The gopis, however, are the best of all, since Uddhava prayed for the dust. Maybe either that, he had already attained the dust. So being in the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis, he's praying, he's offering his prayers from the dust. This is the conclusion of the Vaishnava. Either way, it's glorious. This is the conclusion of the Vaishnava. Sardartha Darshani 11.14.15. Right, so that's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So then, like that. So that's why it's not a matter of position and prestige. It's just a matter of what is the flavor that's there and how that flavor. Because every devotee is important to Krishna, but depending upon the relationship, then someone will be prominent in this situation or someone prominent in that situation. Is that? 16 through 18. The Supreme Lord's own words, disclosed in the Puranas, tell the abounding glories of Uddhava's good fortune. Those words, born of Sri Krishna's causeless mercy, are unlike any others heard in this world. The Yadava heroes now tell those words in songs. Alas, when those words enter the home of my heart through the gateway of the ears, they steal all my wealth of sobriety. Narada is an authorized acharya of the Vaishnava Sampradaya. For him, therefore, the highest evidence by which to prove anything is the expressed opinion of the personality of Godhead, and the effect of the Lord's words on the thought and behavior of his devotees. In regard to Uddhava, Krishna stated his opinion clearly. My dear Uddhava, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, well-wisher, and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. Please hear as I explain these great mysteries to you. Bhagavatam 11.11.49. Why does Krishna choose to reveal this knowledge to Uddhava? In his commentary to this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes Krishna's heart. I will speak to you something not revealed to others, it is said. Because you are submissive by the mercy of the gurus, you know all matters in truth. The guru should speak the secret to the disciple who has affection for the gurus. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.8. Sridhar Swami says that the Lord will explain what methods like Shankhya and Yoga depend on other practices and are unpredictable in results. Association with devotees is independent, powerful, and gives results without fail. Right? Because Shankhya and Yoga are dependent upon other aspects to make them successful. Right? You know, like let's say if you get a stiff neck, very hard to do yoga. Right?
Yes.
So then how are you going to perfect it? So that means they depend on others, so the results are unpredictable. Right? But if you associate with devotees, that's predictable. Because the bhakti being independent, it's not dependent upon anything other than itself.
Yes.
Right? While yoga and shankhya, there's other aspects within the conditioning that are required. Right? It means you have to be intelligent to be... dealing with Shankhya, or you have to be, you know, very focused, and that, you know, to be able to control the mind to deal with yoga. Yes? No?
Yes.
Hmm? No?
I'm just thinking that by conditioning, yoga and other practices are more complex.
Yes.
But they're mechanical,
yes.
And devotional service isn't mechanical. So it doesn't require any condition, but it needs more focus, actually, the focus of the mind. Because as soon as we lose it, then it's lost. It isn't there. Although externally we can be, you know, we can look nice.
Yeah, that's right. But so it means it's the perfection of the mental and intellectual processes.
Yes.
Right? So all the aspects of the mind, the intelligence, and the ego... You know, that we were discussing before, all those are then perfectly connected to Krishna. Because the mind, the samskaras, anything about Krishna, the intelligence, how to see things, and the identity is always connected to Krishna. So in that way, it's the simplest. At the same time, it's not so simple because we're complicated because of conditioning.
Yeah.
But as we progress in the association of devotees, then it becomes easier and easier. So it's just a matter of time. Because bhakti being independent, one becomes qualified for bhakti by the performance of bhakti. So it's not dependent upon all these complications. Does that make sense? Just like you have a watch, right? One at a time. It's simple. Right? The complications actually don't add anything to the time. No? I mean, they're supportive elements. You know, the day, the month, the year, the phase of the moon, and, you know, whatever else it may be that you are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry? Yeah, time in all the parts of the world, you know, how you say the slide rule aspect, you know, all these different things. But the difficulty is that, but the time is actually simple, but because we're complicated, we have to have all these things. It's just there to tell what time it is. Mm-hmm. Moreover, Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way, because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Right, so that's why he was there. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.31. So that's what Krishna had mentioned. So that's why he's staying. Otherwise, that's his point is, I've always been with the Lord, and now he's left and I'm here. But because he's qualified to disseminate the knowledge about him. So he's going to go and discuss that with Narayan Rishi, who, you know, interesting enough, are the deities of the Bhagavatam. Right? So then they get to hear from Uddhava about the pastimes of Krishna, right, which are described in the Bhagavatam. Okay, so. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, this verse describes Uddhava's qualification as a replica of the Lord. Uddhava is not at all Anu, less than me, because Yad, he is not disturbed by the gunas like Sattva. Is the trademark on Sattva or on there? So Krishna has Sattva trademarked? See the little TM?
Yes.
Wow, interesting. So that means that there's a trademark. We can't really use the mode of goodness without getting Krishna's blessings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, maybe, is that supposed to be a quotation mark?
Yes.
Why would it be a TM?
I would love to know how to do this TM.
Hmm?
Sometimes we do it without knowing how to do it.
Yeah,
and then you can
never repeat it. No. Sometimes I'm like on my phone, I'll touch something that does something that, oh wow, that's amazing. And I can never figure out how I did it again. You know?
How to get out of it.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. And then just to push all the buttons and reset it. Yeah. There are many jivan. Okay, so then we take it as a quote rather than.
Yes.
Unless, of course, it means that this is a transcendental meditation.
There is no end quote.
I see. There are many jivan muktas in this world who are undisturbed by the gurus. Are they not equal to the Lord? That is true. Therefore, the following is the real meaning. He is not at all pained by spiritual qualities of strength, intelligence, knowledge, and renunciation. This means that he has the ability to control their effects. This is similar to saying that a person has control over the impulse of lust, nor is not pained by lust. It has already been said that he was the chief among the best groups of warriors among the Yadus. Nowhere is there seen such strength as his. Similarly, he has other qualities like intelligence, which are extraordinary. He is addressed as Prabhu because, like the Lord, he has control over Maya. Sardartha Darshani 3431. Yeah, so, because he is able to control these, strength, intelligence, knowledge, and renunciation, he's not disturbed by them. Because otherwise we may use them, but we become distracted by them. But he uses them as not distracted by them. So he's like the Lord. He's never disturbed by these things. Lastly, professional thieves in ancient India were proficient in using narcotic powders to put unsuspecting householders into a stupor so that their houses could be easily robbed. We can read the details of these methods in minor literary works such as Dandi's Dasa Kumar Charitra. Narada alludes to such criminal skills in describing the looting of his own heart by the glories of Uddhava. Okay. What did he say there? Oh, alas, when those words enter the home of my heart, through the gateway of the ears, they steal all my wealth of sobriety. Okay. Uddhava praises the Vrajavasis. 19:27 or 19 through 27. A proper appreciation of this section depends on the nuanced understandings of raga. Again, we defer to the authority of Bhakti Vasamrita Sindhu. Some persons call Vaidhi Bhakti the path of rules, Maryada Marg, since it is bound by strong limitation of the rules mentioned in the scriptures. Raganuka Bhakti is defined as that bhakti which follows after the ragatmika bhakti found distinctly in the inhabitants of Braja. Footnote 18. This definition of raganuga bhakti has already been specified, that the ideal person whom one follows is an inhabitant of Braja, not Dwarka. In order to define raganuga bhakti, first ragatmika bhakti should be discussed. Raga is defined as spontaneous, deep thirst for the object of love. Bhakti that is impelled exclusively by such thirst is called ragatmika bhakti. Right? So one may have that, so therefore we see that there's this aspect, spontaneous deep thirst for the object of love, but there'll be some moment, and then it'll drop back to sneha or back to prema and these other personalities. But raga is, that is exclusive. So that is the beginning position of braj. Right? So that makes the difference there. Because otherwise you get that spontaneity here and there, and that's appreciated. But here it's constant. That'll make the difference. Right? Because others will talk about this spontaneous aspect. Mm-hmm. But it's just here and there it will come up. So it's just something like a flavor. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, in other words, you're putting, some dhanyapata on the subject, so you haven't made a chutney out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. So, mm-hmm. it's a flavor. So even in Vaidhi, there's that flavor of occasional spontaneity that comes up, and everybody's very happy with it. But it's within the realm. This stable platform is the rules, and then occasional spontaneity brings some taste or some uniqueness to. Does that make sense? So it's not that they have a problem with discussing spontaneous devotional service. Mm-hmm. But for them, it's something as a flavor added to Vaidhi, right? You can't just be only on the Vaidhi, and then there'll be those, so there'll be at that aspect of rag. Mm-hmm. Yes. Be like Narad Muni becomes very ecstatic and all, but he's a Vaikuntha man, yes. Right? So they don't have any problem with that. But braj means it's constant. That's all they function at. There is no rules. There is no need of the rule as basis for them to express their love. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When we discuss that here, whatever we carry in our mental body, subtle body, when we go back, for example, to Gokul, we carry the same scent or whatever it's called, the conditioning, more or less. So
it's a fragrance of conditioning. Conditioning's gone.
For example, here, we do function according to the rules. We advise to do so. It doesn't matter on which level we are at. So it's not the condition, just the habit. So we'll have the same habit there, or it might change by the association.
What do you mean by habit here? I'm not
because we follow
sadhana. You mean that,
sadhana.
Like here we put cow dung patties on the wall, we put them on the wall there, or we stick them underneath the table, or...
Not exactly that habit, but we're doing everything according to the rules, more or less.
That's because if we didn't have the rules, we wouldn't do anything.
Yes, that's my point. Then we are conditioned by those rules, like when you're conditioned by sattva.
Yes, but you're supposed to keep going. That you continue that, but you keep the mentality developing.
So you don't become attached.
No. It means it's, in other words, it's a medium for expression. Like that, to create the environment or regulate, but it's not there to stifle the spontaneous development. But it has to be spontaneous, not whimsical. This thing where our idea is many times spontaneous, just that how comes here or there. It's like artists. Artists are spontaneous. They sit around waiting for inspiration. You know, that mood. You know, like I remember in Vrindavan, one was discussing with one of the Goswami's there, he ran a music school for teaching the traditional music. And so I was asking about their schedule, and they don't really have a schedule. Because the problem is it's by inspiration. So it means you live there, the students, the teachers are there. But whenever there's an inspiration, then it all starts happening. So he was making the point, generally they do most of their work at night.
Yes.
You know? Like that, you're sitting around all day, and then finally some inspiration comes, and then when it does, and they really go for it, and this and that. And,
right? So it's not like that in Vrindavan?
No. Like that. It's constant. They're always inspired, so they don't have... That's rag atmika. Rag atmika. Rag is the atma. It means that is the life of them. Right? We're raganuga. We're following the footsteps of that rag.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So once one comes to that platform of Prabha, that's Ragatmika. Though at the same time, our Ragatmika will be following in the footsteps of others' Ragatmika. So in that way, we're Raganugas. So we'll always be Raganugas or Rupanugas.
But they don't drop the wolves as well.
They don't drop the
wolves, dividing.
No, because the point is there's a natural form of expression of a particular activity, right? But the whole purpose of it is spontaneous. It's not necessary that they need that form to express, otherwise they can't. No, they're just expressing, that form comes naturally. So in other words, in Braj, the natural spontaneous service that they render, that is the basis of Vaidhi.
Yes.
Right? It is the basis of Vaidhi.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's all. Because that's what they're doing. It's not that they like that form. They like that. You know, it's just like therapy. They like formal environments. You know, they do very well in them. You know, everybody's sitting around and, you know, they bring the meal and, you know, before, if you're just about to start and then somebody, you know, clinks their glasses and then stands up and, you know, there's a toast for this and that and this and that, and we're so glad, and you know, so many other things like this, and everybody's there and everything, and then they all this, yeah, here, here, and then they start to eat, and then somebody else, you know, it takes forever to eat, you know, and then it's like, you that, okay, finish that, anything more, and I'll take over the next. It's very, very slow, you know. So what you could eat in probably 2 minutes is spread out over an hour and a half, 2 hours. You know, and not only that, because it is spread over that, you end up just as hungry when you finish as when you start.
This is the time for another meal.
Yes, so therefore that's how they can, you know, they can eat daintily all day, you know, like that, because, yeah, so, you know, so it's not like, what do you call it, getting a hold of one of Elvis's fool's gold loaf there, you know, so, you know, we're talking about, you know, some very pleasant arrangements. Right. Is that, yes. Okay. Jiva Goswami. Oh. Okay. Jiva Goswami will elaborate tomorrow.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki?
Yeah.
Jaya Nitya Gaura Premanandini.